David, you're very welcome to In Business. Thanks for joining me on the show again.
Thanks, Amber. Thanks for having me on.
Delighted to have you back on the show. So there is a recently launched strategy. First of all, I suppose to start off, tell us what the strategy is all about and maybe what prompted you to launch it.
Yeah, well, this strategy, we came to the conclusion of our previous strategy quite successfully. And this strategy is for the next 3 years. And it sets out a blueprint for prosperity for the small business owner. It sets out how we're going to engage with government on behalf of our members on the issues that are really affecting the businesses. I suppose there are 6 pillars within it. I might just focus on the first 3, which is growth and competitiveness. That includes costs, access to finance, and skills and talent. And as you're well aware, Amber, and as your listeners are well aware, these are the key issues facing small businesses at the moment. And they haven't really changed, being honest, over the last couple of years. But certainly, cost competitiveness is something that we're hearing every single day from our members.
Talk us through the details of it, I suppose, and I suppose the aims behind those as well, if you don't mind, David.
Sure. Well, look, as you've seen, between the avalanche of regulation that came through after COVID, we had so many changes from sick pay. And obviously, the most recent one, which your listeners will be aware of, is the auto enrollment. So these are regulation changes. And with regulation change comes a cost. And when input costs across all businesses are skyrocketing, that's where the word competitiveness comes in. So we're talking to our members every day, and we've plenty of members in your region, some quite successful ones. Actually, we issued 2 finalists recently in terms of the Tom Cream Brewery and a sea salt company down there in Kerry, who are in our small business finalists, but in the National Small Business Awards. But the reason why is our members are saying, with all these increasing costs and then the cost of implementing a regulation, their margin is being completely eroded. So what we want to do is work with government to identify either solutions, or if there's supports needed, that they're the right solutions to support the small business owner. And that's something else that we've really focused on this strategy. You know, the small business owner, you know, everyone is au fait with the phrase, you know, small businesses are the backbone of this economy. Yeah. But the small business owner is the human with the backbone. And we think if we frame policy and changes forward in that mind of, is this going to be a support to a small business owner, then we're on the right path. So there's plenty of things in there under cost. It's less and more proportionate regulation. We look at if there's productivity supports, you know, what does that look like? So we will be lobbying heavily in Budget 27. I can't believe we're talking about this in January, Amber, but in Budget 27, a key ask for the SFA, for government, is a PRSI rebate to try and put some funds back into the small business owners who are, I suppose, disproportionately affected by the increase in the minimum wage. We had our 10th year of an increase in the minimum wage this year. And although we're supportive of this, you know, something's got to give in terms of small business carrying the cost of that. So that would be all around the growth and competitiveness piece. Very topical at the moment. We have a lot of calls around auto enrollment and the effect. And look, it is great. We have a pension crisis. Our members are supportive of auto enrollment, but this is yet another cost on business. Mm-hmm. And when you combine that with the regulation changes, you know, to implement a regulation change for a large business can be approximately €1 per employee. But for a small business, that's up to €10 per employee, and prorated, if you know what I mean. So that's the disproportionate effect on small businesses when there are changes in regulation, which of course knocks on to cost, which of course knocks on to competitiveness. And if we don't get this competitiveness right, Amber, it's going to stifle growth. And that's a big concern for our members. You know, with these costs and having to make these changes, what's happening is the small business owners are having to step back from running the business as such and working in their business. You know, they've had to make changes where they've had to, unfortunately, some people they've had to let go. And that results in a small business owner having to, you know, pack the van or, you know, clean the floors or whatever that is. But that's not good for Ireland Inc. Because if they're doing that, then they're, you know, they're spending too much time working in their business as opposed to on their business. And that's what we're trying to achieve in terms of under that pillar over the next 3 years. So short, medium, and then with an eye on long-term solutions.
Yeah, very interesting. And you mentioned it there as well, David, that, and I think we all know it, as you said as well, that, you know, SMEs, they make up such a significant portion of our businesses here in Ireland. And as you said, they are the backbone of the economy and they're so vital that they can thrive, I suppose, so that our economy is successful. There's jobs locally, you know, local businesses are supporting their communities. So there's such a knock-on effect from it as well. So are you confident that having this 3-year strategy in place and having this document, I suppose, done up and ready to support small businesses, that it will make a significant difference to the business owners maybe that are struggling at the moment on the ground?
Yeah, well, I mean, putting the document together with all the input with members, it's ironic to say that's the easy part. It's now the implementation of such. And that's something that you will see. It was a strange time to be writing a document in terms of a strategy, because normally someone in my position is looking at, you know, catering for a change of government or, you know, what that's going to look like. The Small Firms Association was very successful in terms of lobbying the government to get supports for small business within the programme for government, for this existing government, you know, such as the Cost of Doing Business Forum, which I would sit on. So a lot of what's in this strategy is around successful implementation and guiding the government on that implementation in order for a successful outcome. And if we get that right, to answer your question, then I am confident that we will get a successful solution. As you pointed out there, you know, small businesses are the lifeblood of this economy. We're responsible for, you know, 98.6% of all businesses, and we employ just over 43% of the private workforce. We've had a very successful FDI strategy. What the SFA is calling for is similar supports for the small business community that are like the GAA. They're in every town and village across the country, and they are the lifeblood of that village. They're supporting clubs. They're supporting the livelihood of these small towns, and they need to be supported. They were here long before any boom or bust or anything like that, and are an essential part of the FDI ecosystem. And they should get that sort of support. And that's what we'll be working for over the next couple of years.
Absolutely. And you touched on it earlier as well, David, in terms of the difficulties faced by small business owners, I suppose, in particular as well. You know, they've gone through so much. I suppose you had, you know, Brexit, you had the pandemic, you had the recession in years gone by. But also, I suppose, kind of since 2023 or thereabouts, there's been a lot of legislative changes as well that have put a burden onto them as well. You mentioned the cost of doing business and they need to reduce the cost down. Then there's also the whole side of the digital transformation and the need to embrace technology. So there's constantly things being thrown at them. So it is important, I suppose, that they feel heard and that their concerns are raised, I suppose, by the likes of yourselves and in this kind of a document as well. They will hopefully aim to get those concerns heard and maybe some kind of action in terms of finance to help them tackle them as well going forward.
Yeah, well, I think the government is blue in the face from listening to myself and my colleagues in terms of where the issues are. So they're certainly being told what we want to achieve in the SFA is meaningful action. You're right in terms of the regulation, but if you break that down, I've already touched on the cost and competitiveness piece. Underpinning that, touching on the digital as well, which is one of our pillars, you've got access to finance and skills and talent, and they're the two other areas. And they all feed into the challenges that you're concerning there. So within our strategy, for example, we're exploring the option of another semi-state SME bank. And really where that's driven from is a struggle from our small business owners to get access to the right financial products, you know, for them at their stage of their growth. So if I could give you two examples, the biggest thing the companies are looking for at the moment would be either on a short-term basis is access to finance just to fund working capital, which I suppose is a sign of the times itself. And then on the other side of the spectrum, another cohort of firms are really struggling to get medium-term finance for small businesses. And that's, you know, that's your 3 to 7 year finance. And that's become especially tricky. And there is a frustration out there amongst them that they can't get that access for their business, either in one case to keep the lights on and the other case to show growth. And that's a real essential key. And that's why that is one of the pillars in there. So if you build that up then to what you said in terms of the digital transformation, which again is so important, unless you have the finance to fund that journey, it's going to make things extremely difficult. So they're all interlinked. You know, we are in the cusp. We're here in terms of the digital transformation, and we have a tool in AI that could, you know, increase productivity across the board. But the reality is that's a very different journey for many businesses that are listening to your show tonight. you have people who have, you know, embraced AI, for example, or, you know, they've looked at their digital and they're looking at how that increases productivity, mm-hmm. how it removes, you know, mundane tasks and speed things up. And that's all well and good if you're that far advanced on the journey. But there's a significant cohort of people who are just beginning their digital journey. So you're talking about people who are moving from Excel spreadsheets, and you know, they're, you know, if they're still using Excel spreadsheets for their payroll, for example, they're on a much different path to somebody who's implementing, you know, AI to make their payroll process a hell of a lot easier and more efficient. And the broad spectrum does exist. And that's why we need to see particular targeted supports for businesses where they are on that journey, wherever that is. But we want to make sure that they're all catered for. And again, it is a very broad spectrum.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I suppose just before we finish up, David, you spoke about the budget, which is not till October. But as you say, I suppose, you know, the planning, the preparation gets underway at a very early stage, obviously. Yes. I know a lot of people, business owners, people in their own personal lives, well, weren't overly happy with last year's budget. So the budget, I suppose, it's coming into place or has come into place since the start of this year now. Are you confident that we might see more supports maybe put in place for businesses in the upcoming budget? I suppose the budget we can expect to be announced in October. Or how do you feel about it?
Yeah, unfortunately, in my world, we have to be thinking about the budget 27 the minute the budget 26 stops. And as I said, we do have a campaign underway at the moment for the PRSI rebate. I think, look, you know, it was well documented at the time in budget 26, the investment that came for business was long-term structured investment that was absolutely essential. You know, there's some excellent things put in there to support the overall infrastructure for businesses at large. Unfortunately, a lot of my members, they need the lifeline now. They can't be waiting 3, 5, 10 years or, you know, some of those things that are put in. So they needed the supports now. So we were extremely disappointed with budget 26 in terms of supports. I mean, if you think about it, what did we get out of it as a small business other than the infrastructure things? Well, we got on January 1st an increase of 65% on the minimum wage and auto enrollment, which will also increase wage bills and payroll bills. So we weren't too happy about that. Now, we also did get the reduction in VAT, which mm-hmm. will come in from July 1st. And we are positive about that. But again, the VAT reduction will only support 25% of small businesses. What about the other 25%? So I think, look, these are the challenges that we have, and it's up to us to represent all those businesses in Kerry and throughout the country, and to guide the government as well in terms of you know, what will work, what will make a real difference to the small business owner to help them not just survive, but I suppose to thrive as well.
Certainly, absolutely. Well, David, thanks very much for taking the time to join me on the show this evening to talk us through that strategy. It's been great to talk to you.
No problem, Amber. And a big shout out to all the cousins in the Stowell, the Brodricks and Sheehans. And thanks for having me on.
Fantastic.